that track is Neither Should the End of It Be Talked Over by the disc jockey. The Eagles, of course, Hotel California for David. If I do listen to Hotel California, the album, I sort of tend to skip that track out now. But, well, it's a great track, but it's vastly overplayed. The rest of the Hotel California album is absolutely superb as well. Just seeing here a petition for the France against Switzerland Euro 2020 match to be replayed has attracted 270,000 signatures. Yes, a French football fan has launched a petition saying that the game between France and Switzerland, which of course Switzerland won on penalties, should be replayed because in the penalty shootouts, the Swiss goalkeeper wasn't on his line when Mbappe fired the penalty that he missed.
Oh, damn.
According to the rules, that is illegal. The penalty should have been retaken and it could have been a different result. I shouldn't think that's going to happen, though. I mean, was it be what magnanimous and be gracious in victory and magnanimous in defeat, or is it the other way around? One of the two. Ain't going to happen, is it?
Don't think so. They're clutching at straws.
They are talking about Didier Deschamps possibly being replaced as French coach.
I know. Yeah. I saw that. I don't think that's very fair.
Well, it's a results business. Ask Rafa Benitez when he got his marching orders from Anfield. And ended up at Everton.
Not Didier Deschamps. He has coffee in Letter B.
Does he?
He does, yes.
Well, that should save him then. Here's this morning's BBC Wimbledon roundup.
Wimbledon update from the BBC with Lee James.
It's day four and a lot more comfortable for the eight-time champion Roger Federer today. He had a real battle before his opponent Adrian Manarino slipped and had to retire through injury on Tuesday. He faced another Frenchman in Richard Gasquet, but it was comfortable. He went through in straight sets after a tight tiebreak, 6-1, 6-4, and he'll now face Britain's Cameron Norrie in the third round. Our tennis commentator Chris Dennis is here with me. Federer has asked how his body was holding up. He'll feel a little bit more comfortable, won't he, Chris, after today's performance?
I'm sure he will. It looked more like the Federer of old, didn't it? And poor old Richard Gasquet there. Head-to-head now reads 19 wins for Federer in 21 meetings. He hasn't beaten him for over a decade now, poor Richard Gasquet. But it was an authoritative performance today. And just a reminder that although he turns 40 next month, Roger Federer is still one class act. Nobody's expecting him to win the tournament this year. He might, but it looks as though he's got a great chance of reaching at least the second week.
Now, Ukraine's Elena Svitolina became the latest seed to suffer an early exit in the women's draw. The third seed from Ukraine, a semi-finalist here 2 years ago, was beaten by Poland's Magda Linet 6-3, 6-4. She admitted afterwards that mentally she wasn't in the right place and she was struggling today. It has really opened this women's draw, Chris.
Yes, it has. Svitolina, the number three seed, joins seeds 4, 5 and 6, who went out in the last couple of days. So it is wide open. Svitolina really wasn't very convincing even in her opening round match against Alison van Oetvank. So not such a surprise today against Magda Linet. Just the 8 winners in the entire match. But yes, you're right. It really has opened up the draw. And I think it further underlines the unpredictability of women's tennis. Worth noting that in the last 6 years, we've had 9 different first-time Grand Slam champions. And on this form, on this evidence so far in the first 4 days, you wouldn't bet against another maiden Grand Slam champion come, what, Saturday week?
Only Barty, Sabalenka and Swiatek of the top 10 are left in. Then I saw Ash Barty go through 6-4, 6-3 against Russia's Anna Blinkova. Plenty of errors, though, particularly on her serve, Chris. 8 double faults, and she admitted afterwards, clearly, she's not totally happy, not totally convincing today.
No, I mean, we're still looking at the hip injury that forced her out of the French Open. She will argue that, OK, it's not convincing, wasn't at her best, but she's winning. And that's what champions do. That's what world number ones do. She's into the third round. She'll play Katerina Siniaková in the next round and maybe just getting better and better round by round, as we said, Roger Federer himself is as well. So don't write off Ash Barty just yet.
So the women's draw is wide open, but the top seed, Ash Barty, has gone through.
Wimbledon update from the BBC.
Now, Chris, you watched the men's second seed, Daniil Medvedev of Russia, reach the third round for a third year in a row. He beat the debutant Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz. He's had a tour win on grass recently, has the Russian. Is he starting to get a feel for this surface?
I think he is. I'm not sure if he'd publicly admit that, but I think he is. That grass court title in Mallorca last week is first on this surface. He's deceptively so strong. Nothing particularly flashy or memorable about any of his strokes, but he's so metronomic in his accuracy. He very, very rarely misses. And there was an extra dimension today playing Carlos Alcaraz, this 18-year-old Spaniard who's been rather unfairly dubbed the next Rafael Nadal. The crowd got right behind the youngster. We saw some terrific glimpses of his precocious talent. But all credit to Medvedev. He just shut him out and got through in straight sets in just under an hour and a half.
There was a victory for the French Open champion, Barbora Krejcikova, in straight sets against Andrea Petkovic. And I saw Coco Gauff go through, now 17 after that fairy tale performance 2 years ago. She went through against Russia's Elina Vesnina. Some battles out there today, though, Chris, in particular for the former champion Angelique Kerber.
Yes, three sets and over 3 hours required for her to get past the Spaniard Sara Sorribes-Tormo. She doesn't make it easy for herself, Angelique Kerber, but again, has the experience and just quietly going about her business and grinding out these victories. It's what great champions do, and Angelique Kerber is still very much alive and kicking in Wimbledon 2021.
And if you are alive and kicking, you've got a chance. How open the women's draw is after Svitolina's exit today. But Barty and the likes march on. And that's it from day four of Wimbledon.
Lee James broadcasting from inside Doctor Who's TARDIS. Or was it a groove from the dark side of the moon that got stuck? Or was it a lawnmower?
I think it was a lawnmower.
You'd have thought they'd go somewhere sort of a bit more quiet. Never mind. It's all good stuff. Here's Kid Rock for Tom and All Summer Long.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
Guardian says ministers are planning to remove all mandatory mask and social distancing restrictions in England on the 19th of July, but national guidance may still encourage caution in high-risk areas such as public transport. A number of key scientific advisers, including England's chief medical officer Chris Whitty and the government's chief scientific adviser Patrick Vallance, are said to be behind ministers' plans to lift restrictions, though they've cautioned that the NHS may come under pressure in the winter. But hospital bosses fear the reopening date will lead to a new spike in admissions due to COVID. NHS providers, which represents hospital trusts in England, warn it could lead to the cancellation of surgery and other care.
And in this morning's Figaro, French prosecutors have opened an investigation into four fashion retailers suspected of concealing crimes against humanity in China. The procedure is linked to accusations against China over its treatment of workers, including the use of forced labour. China denies all accusations of abuse. And one of the sources said that an investigation has been opened by the Crimes Against Humanity Unit within the Anti-Terrorism Prosecutor's Office following the filing of a complaint.
The Financial Times says the world's leading economies have signed up to a plan to force multinational companies to pay a global minimum corporate tax rate of at least 15% following intense negotiations in Paris at the OECD. The historic agreement among 130 countries will ensure the largest companies, including big tech, pay at least $100 billion a year more in taxes, with more of that money going to the countries where they do most business.
And in the Figaro, according to a recent survey published in the paper, the French are mostly in favour of compulsory COVID vaccination. 58% of respondents are in favour of compulsory vaccination. That's compared to 38% in November of last year. However, the most reluctant category was young people, with over 55% of 18 to 34-year-olds opposed to it.
Bill Gates will be rubbing his hands together in glee. The news is next.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayon Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
And when's Terminal 1 at the airport opening then?
The 21st of July.
It'd be nice to see inside Terminal. I prefer Terminal 1. Call me an old stick in the mud.
Well, I do, but we didn't want... Other one, you don't go
Terminal
there that
two.
Often, do you?
Terminal 1, well, I think British Airways operates as a Terminal 1, and in any international, sort of long-haul international flights.
But haven't been there for years, Terminal
1. No. Right.
Day trip to Terminal 1, just to keep us happy.
On to the pop quiz.
Question number one. Easy peasy today. On this day in 1983, a Baby Jane was at number one in the UK.
Stuart.
Yes. For who exactly? Question number
Not the who, Rod Stewart.
Question number two. Born on this day in 1961, this female singer had a UK number five hit in 1986 with Too Good to Be Forgotten.
Oh. When was she born? 1961?
Yeah.
I can't think.
Oh, come on. Too Good to Be Forgotten.
Yeah, I know.
Never let it go. Okay. This American model actress was born on this day in 1955. She married Rolling Stone Mick Jagger in 1990 and started dating musician Brian Ferry.
Jerry Hall.
Yes, happy birthday, Jerry Hall.
Is it her birthday today?
It certainly
Mrs.
is.
Mrs. Rupert Murdoch.
Yes, and she was in a video for which Brian Ferry song?
Virginia Plain?
No. It was a message to her, but she didn't understand
Slave
it because she ran off with Mick. Sorry?
Slave to Love.
No. Brian Ferry was trying to tell her something.
Jealous Sky?
No, and then she...
Oh, I can't remember.
Left him for... Oh, Let's Stick Together.
Oh, really?
In Noodle. Yeah.
Gosh. Noodle? I just don't know what the second one was.
Amazulu. Of course.
It's not she, it's a group.
Well, no, but it's her birthday. Annie Ruddock was
the
name
I was looking for.
Yeah,
but solo artist.
What did I say? No, I said born on this day in 1961, this female singer.
But they were a group, Amazulu.
Oh, well, come on, she was part of a group. I was looking for who had the birthday.
Never mind, trick question.
To keep you cool through the night, discover the best version of yourself at Heston's, 44 Rue Giuffredo in Nice.
It's time to rediscover the splendid hotel rooftop in the heart of Nice. Come and relax after work with a breathtaking 360-degree view over the city. Enjoy an aperitif and cocktails, or a delicious dinner from our refined menu with the possibility to privatise your space. Spa treatment available.
And live jazz every Saturday.
Find out more at splendid-nice.com.
10 to 9.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Where were you yesterday?
Morning, working very hard. Where were you?
I was working very hard. Come on, you were down Cafe Spice, weren't you?
I think Cafe Spice is closed, unfortunately, dare I say it. A victim of the pandemic.
RAC so, Club?
No.
Day trip to Butlins?
None of the above, it has to be said.
Right, well, at least Friday's amongst us, best day of the week.
Ooh, very nice. And it's France against Spain today. I know they were
France, no, come on,
by
wake
Switzerland,
up.
Weren't they?
Switzerland
oh,
against
what
Spain.
I know that. I'm only joking.
Right, you want to start off being crude, do you?
Crude prices remain elevated this morning as the UAE reportedly pushed back on a proposed production increase from Saudi Arabia and Russia. It would have seen the cartel at around 400,000 barrels per day each month between August and December. Today comes as crude markets tighten as demand recovers from the pandemic lows. Supply remains constrained and inventory levels have been falling. Crude up around about 50% year to date. Brent trading around $76 a barrel this morning, the highest level in more than 2 years. UAE wants its base level to increase after its production capacity has increased over the course of the past couple of years. OPEC Plus Group will reconvene today, expected to announce a deal with some concessions to the UAE. The cartel, I think, will be keen to maintain its discipline and control of the market. The deal is also expected to include the extension to the expiry of cuts into December 2022. Investors, of course, watching crude prices very carefully, fearing rising energy prices could stifle the recovery by increasing costs for businesses and consumers and stoke inflation, forcing central bankers to hike interest rates.
What's black and shoots out to the ground at 100 miles an hour, screaming knickers?
Go on.
Crude oil.
Oh, dear. That is poor, even by your standards.
Oh, sorry, so you didn't like it. Now, it's all about the non-farm payroll numbers today. US markets were quite buoyant yesterday.
Yeah, they're in reasonable shape, and Wall Street cyclicals also leading the way, helped by stronger data. Manufacturing expanded at a solid rate in June. Applications for state unemployment insurance fell last month to a fresh pandemic low. S&P 500 up 0.5%. But you say it's all about non-farm payroll reports. Today, we've been talking a lot about inflation. Remember, the Fed's got a dual mandate. Second component of that is maximum employment. Despite the recent slowing, we've had a couple of disappointing non-farm payroll reports. The U.S. labor market has recovered remarkably over the course of the past year. Go back to April last year, Remember, unemployment was at 14.7%. We look for the US economy, we've created 625,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate ticked down to 5.7%. Average hourly earnings come in at plus 3.6% year on year. We think the labour market will continue to recover during the course of this year as economic conditions normalise. Got unemployment at 4.6% at the end of this year, 4.1% at the end of next year. Remember, pre-pandemic, unemployment rate was 3.5%.
Would you mind finishing your breakfast before you come on the programme?
You've
got
that
bacon stuck in your teeth or something.
Honestly, I tell you what it is. I just had a bowl of this Rude Health muesli, which has got a lot of nuts in it, and it seems to take all the moisture from your mouth, basically.
No, it really makes you salivate, that stuff.
It's weird.
Yes, you have to try and eat it at least an hour before broadcast. Okay.
Yeah. I'll remember it in future, but it's good stuff, but it does impact you, as we said.
And it's the dragnets closing around Donald Trump, do you think?
Well, the legal procrastination's playing out. I don't want to say too much about this because I haven't really followed it too carefully and don't really have a legal opinion on these things. But the legal authorities certainly looking into the workings at the Trump Organization, pressure on you could argue he's number one lieutenant, and whether that will escalate into pressure onto the Trump Organization, we'll have to wait and see.
And Labour hanging on to Batley in Spain, which will be good news for Keir Starmer.
Finally, some good news for the embattled Labour leader there. It was a close call, actually, wasn't it? There was the tight number of
300 votes.
300 votes? Yeah, I thought so. I thought I saw the headline number on that. Yeah, it was close to call. So after a few disappointments, nice for the Labour team to notch up a victory there. And wait to see how it plays out on the broader perspective as the recovery plays out.
Well, that's two by-election defeats in a row for the Conservatives as well, isn't it? They lost the Amersham and the other one, the Liberals one.
It's not unusual, of course, midterm for by-elections to go against the government. Actually, they've been relatively close, probably closer than you'd expect, given the fact that the problems the country has been facing. So every sign that it's still relatively secure, the Conservative government.
OK, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.38 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.18. You're going to get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
You firing up the Barbie this weekend, or is it going to be raining?
I think it's all right today. I don't think it's great the rest of the weekend. Of course, our focus will be, is it England, Ukraine? When is that? Tomorrow?
But you're asking me. You don't know.
I think it's tomorrow. Well, I should ask you if you're English.
The other day you were accusing me of not being a proper England supporter, and then you don't even know who they're playing.
They're playing tomorrow, I think, against Ukraine. So we'll be watching that in the Potts household at some stage.
Right, enjoy.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you Monday. Hang Potts and Barclay.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
The French government is preparing a bill for compulsory vaccination against COVID for caregivers, although it could ultimately target a larger population. In a letter addressed to MPs, the Prime Minister Jean Castex expressed his wish to open the debate on obligatory vaccination for health workers in the fight against COVID and whether or not it should be extended more widely. Castex also calls for MPs to think about ways to encourage vaccination and the extension of the places required to have a health pass. As the epidemic decline continues in France, health authorities are expressing their concern about a possible fourth wave due to the rapid spread of the Delta variant. The Hospital Federation of France said it was in favour of making vaccination of health professionals compulsory. Shopkeepers in Nice will be able to show a label on their storefront to show that they've been vaccinated. Speaking on Thursday, the mayor, Christian Estrosi, said that like the sanitary trust label, which was put in place at the end of the first lockdown in order to reassure customers and support traders, he had decided to introduce the vaccine health label. He added this will allow restaurants and shops on a voluntary basis to indicate to their customers that all their staff is vaccinated. Meanwhile, the Regional Health Agency for the PACA region is launching a large-scale campaign to encourage the population to get vaccinated. It's especially aimed at young people. Messages will be placed on billboards and in bars, restaurants, sports halls and online social networks. In its weekly update, the agency said that the level of the Delta variant had reached 43% of cases in the Alpes-Maritimes, making it the worst affected department in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region. And it was only on Thursday that the Regional Health Agency announced the identification of a cluster of the COVID Delta variant in Antibes. In what is being described as a wake-up call, the mayor of Antibes has taken the opportunity to remind everyone that you need to be vaccinated in order to eradicate the COVID-19 epidemic. 200 people were tested. The positive cases have been placed in isolation. While hospitalisations are down and the vaccination campaign is running out of steam, the cluster that recently broke out in Antibes in a dance school shows that the COVID-19 epidemic remains very present. In all, 200 people have been tested in recent days, with a total of 16 positive cases for the Delta variant, including 6 children and 10 young adults, including supervisors as well as dancers. None of those tested were vaccinated, and all of them have been placed in solitary confinement. It's believed that the virus was able to spread after one of the students contracted COVID and took part in the end-of-year show. In other news, while it remains unclear as to whether or not the formal deadline to apply for a residency card has been extended, the website remains up and running. The official website for Britons in France to apply for residency cards is still open, but there is still no formal confirmation as to whether the June the 30th deadline is being extended or not. As a result, Britons are still being encouraged to apply on the website if they miss the June the 30th deadline. Nice Côte d'Azur Airport is to temporarily reopen Terminal 1 from July the 21st. Closed since the start of the COVID pandemic in March 2020, Terminal 1 of Nice Côte d'Azur Airport will be open to travellers this summer from Wednesday, July the 21st until September the 7th. The aim is to streamline health controls at borders. In a statement, it was announced that certain international flights will be operated, in particular from or to countries, which are subject to monitoring from authorities. Meanwhile, strike notices have been filed by unions with the SNCF and at Paris airports as of Thursday. On the rails, the expected disruptions concern the TER and the Ouigo this weekend. As for the ADP group, it warns of possible flight delays. The action is expected this weekend, which is the first weekend of July holiday departures. Demonstrations are also expected this morning at Paris airports. And finally, the village of Sancerre in central France has been voted France's favourite village for 2021, beating 13 others. And after weeks of voting, the hilltop village surrounded by vineyards for the world-famous wine took the title.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211 or email info@westnautical.com.
The seed is set for the quarterfinals of the competition with two games tonight and two on Saturday. Tonight's the surprise package. Switzerland, who knocked out the favourites France, plays Spain, who've improved as the tournament progresses. Kick-off at 6pm. At 9pm, Belgium, who are top-ranked FIFA team, play Italy, who are unbeaten in 31 games. So predictions for tonight, Switzerland against Spain.
Spain.
As we said last time.
Spain are going to win it.
Yeah, I think Spain will win tonight. And Belgium against Italy. Italy unbeaten in 31 games.
I'm going for Italy.
Are you? Mm. Are you? That's... Ooh. Yeah, well... I might have to agree with you. Yeah. And they just... Nobody seems still to beat them at the moment. On Saturday night, the Czech Republic played Denmark, who have been supported by all the neutrals following the cardiac arrest that struck Christian Eriksen in their opening fixture. Kick-off at 6pm tomorrow, then it's Ukraine against England in Rome at 9pm. England bidding to reach the semi-final of the competition for the first time in 25 years. Czech Republic against Denmark.
It is the way, it has to be Denmark.
It is the way, Denmark, come on Denmark. And Ukraine against England.
England, come on England, they can do it.
Yeah, all right.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Tennis, Roger Federer set up a third round meeting at Wimbledon with the British number two Cameron Norrie. Federer continued his dominance over Richard Gasquet with a 7-6, 6-1, 6-4 victory in the second round, while Norrie beat Alex Bolt of Australia 6-3, 6-1, 6-2. The world number two Daniil Medvedev and the sixth seed Alexander Zverev are also through. In the women's event, world number one Ashley Barty wasn't totally convincing as she beat Anna Blinkova 6-4, 6-3 to move into round three, but the third seed Elina Svitolina was knocked out by Magdalena. The British teenager Emma Raducanu is also through after beating Marquesa Vondrousova 6-2, 6-4. She only finished her A-levels last month.
Crikey, that's impressive.
Very good. She's 18 and she's looking pretty good. Now, cricket. England have beaten Sri Lanka by 8 wickets in the second one-day international at the Oval. Sri Lanka batted first and made 241 for 9 from their 50 overs, with Sam Curran taking 5 for 48. England got to the target in 43 overs, in a total of 244 for 2, with captain Owen Morgan making 75 not out and Joe Root 68 not out. England lead the series 2-0. Formula One first practice for Sunday's Austrian Grand Prix takes place at 11:30 this morning, with Max Verstappen leading Lewis Hamilton by 18 points heading into the weekend. Verstappen won on the same track last week, and Red Bull will be looking to press home the advantage. Second practice at 3 p.m. this afternoon, qualifying at 3 p.m. on Saturday, and the race at 3 p.m. on Sunday. Lewis or Max?
Max.
Max, oh, you changed your tune. Max all the way, I think. Cycling, Mark Cavendish has claimed his 32nd Tour de France stage win with victory on stage 6 between Tours and Châteauroux. The Manxman powered past Jasper Philipsen and Nasser Bohani to move closer to the all-time record of 34 stage wins held by Eddy Merckx. And Mathieu van der Poel of the Netherlands still holds the leader's yellow jersey, with Tadej Pogačar 8 seconds off the pace in second. Today's seventh stage, it's just the 249.1 kilometres between Vierzon and Le Creusot. It's the longest stage for 21 years, and we'll see the riders climb more than 3,000 metres on 5 demanding ascents over the last 100 kilometres. 249 kilometres? A lot of people won't be driving that far for their holiday. And in rugby union, Stuart Hogg will captain the British and Irish Lions 15 against the Emirates Lions in Johannesburg on Saturday. Coach Warren Gatland makes 14 changes from the side that beat Japan last weekend. Finn Russell and Owen Farrell will partner each other in the midfield. Kick-off 6 p.m. French time tomorrow evening. Oh, we didn't have the BBC football, did we? I better have that now.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Everton goalkeeper Jordan Pickford says Rafa Benitez has already been in touch and has wished him well for the rest of Euro 2020. Benitez signed a 3-year contract to become Everton's new manager on Wednesday. Pickford is away with England preparing for Saturday's Euro 2020 quarter-final against Ukraine in Rome.
You've seen his career, the amount of trophies he's won, his desire to win matches every time. And had a phone call, he rang me last night, so it was nice to get to speak to him, and he said enjoy the tournament, do well for England, and see you when I get back.
Meanwhile, Manchester City forward Raheem Sterling has been praised for his incredible resilience and hunger by England manager Gareth Southgate. Sterling has scored 3 goals at Euro 2020, which is part of a run of 15 goals in his past 20 England matches. Leicester City's Youri Tielemans says he's learning a lot from working with former Aston Villa midfielder Sean Maloney at international level. Maloney is part of the Belgium coaching staff helping Tielemans prepare for their Euro 2020 quarter-final against Italy on Friday.
He's been a really good player, and he knows how to deal with certain situations, and he knows how to stay calm in certain situations. And for me, being a midfielder just like him helps me a lot in my positioning onto the pitch. So, yeah, he helps a lot in the team.
And Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is targeting a central defender as the next part of his squad strengthening ahead of the new season. United have already agreed a fee of around $100 million with Borussia Dortmund for England winger Jadon Sancho. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
So I'm getting very forgetful this week. Nearly forgot the football news. I have remembered the Wimbledon roundup from the BBC this morning, though. That's coming up in the next hour.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Al Maritim in the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,011 millibars over the Gulf of Genoa, losing its identity. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
Mainly fine, light variable winds, temperatures 25 to 28 degrees today. Overnight lows 19 or 20 degrees with clear skies. The weekend mainly fine tomorrow, some thunder inland. Hazy sunshine on Sunday, highs of 25 to 29 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally,
new research has suggested that mammoths were driven to extinction by climate change rather than overhunting by humans. The study challenges claims that early human hunters wiped out the animals and instead blames extreme global environmental change at the end of the last ice age for the decline and eventual elimination of the species.
It's not very good for us then, is it?
Not really, no. Mm.
Now you're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieradio.mc. Holidays, travel, relaxation, family, good times. I always like going on holiday by train.
You can say by yourself then.
Oh, that too,
I always like going on holiday by myself.
Some people really do like going on holiday by themselves, you know, a bit of solitude and tranquility. No, but I mean, when we were kids, our parents used to pack us up to North Wales on the train to stay with Auntie, you know, and we'd get the train. I think it was from Euston Station. Was it Euston Station? Possibly. Could have been Liverpool Street as well, but doesn't matter. But, you know, we used to go off on the train, you know, all the way up to North Wales, and Auntie would meet us at the other. I mean, I have fond memories of, you know, these long train journeys, so.
Very nice.
So does Sue. Flash in the pan.
Who was Sue? Was she on the train?
I don't,
what are you on about?
No, it's a request.
Oh, sorry.
She might have been. Were you on the train to North Wales, Sue? Waiting for a train.